You're listening to the Modern Producer Podcast, expert talk on livestock housing and animal husbandry. Get ready for today's episode.
Well, isn't that just kind of funny? We get this intro talking about expert talk, but I think we might just ruin that whole theme. We just might ruin that whole theme today, Kevin, won't we?
Well, that's kind of the goal.
I think that's where we were aiming for, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I might as well just burst that bubble right now. Anyway, welcome to the Modern Producer Podcast, everybody. Sorry for the awkward, weird intro, but here's what we're doing today. This is, of course, 2020, which is rapidly becoming a swear word. And given that my family is all up in Canada, and I'm not, I actually haven't seen anybody in person since beginning of March. We had to look it up. It was March 5th, I believe, I was up there last. Excuse me.
You caught it right before everything really got locked down.
Yeah. And so it's now we're sitting here in September. It's after Labor Day. And it's been one hell of a year, hasn't it? So we thought, hey, you get into this industry and it's unique enough that unless you sit at shows or sit in meetings or get together at some sort of seminar, you don't find a lot of people you can just sit and have a beer with and talk shop, because by and large, nobody else gets it. And honestly, they don't care. And I don't honestly blame them. It just is what it is. So I haven't seen my brothers in a while, haven't seen the family in general, and haven't had a chance to drink a beer with them. So I kind of figured, why don't we just do a podcast where we can actually, I don't know if that picks up on there or not. I just opened up a beer because, well, hell, I'm going to drink a beer with Kevin.
Let's see if mine shows up.
Oh, I heard it.
That's a lovely sound. I don't care what anybody says. That's a lovely sound.
We might have to get some sound effects. I'm sure Jake can, who's laughing in the background there, who can can kind of find a way to add sound effects. And wouldn't you know it, Kevin, you've been at our shop often enough and we've laughed about often enough. We have the Air National Guard just outside at the airport here, just outside the airport south of us. And they fly about twice a month. And we have a really good habit of recording right when they decide to fly. So there might be some moment where the building shakes a bit because we're in the flight path, but that'll be what it'll be. Anyway, getting into it. You probably won't hear it too much on your end. So we're going to just do a little bit of we'll call it a drinking beer BS catch-up session, whatever you want to do. See how life's going, see how the industry's going in Canada versus down here. Basically, talk
shop. I got to ask you, first of all, you had mentioned kind of as you were talking there, the shows, yeah, as this all happened, there were several shows I was supposed to be heading to and doing different things, and obviously none of that happened. I gotta ask, do you actually, you know, it's getting to that point for me, but did you actually miss some of those shows? It was kind of nice for me to be able to say, hey, I'm around home a little bit more than I've ever have been since, realistically, we both lived in mom and dad's house. I haven't been in the same house. Home this long since then, but in the same time, it hasn't been that bad. But missing the shows, yeah, it's something that you know, when you get into too many of them, we all go, oh man, it's the show circuit, and it's tough on you. But at the same time, yeah, I guess you kind of miss them after a while. You're not really,
well,
I just see talking shop with guys who get what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't miss the hectic schedule. I don't miss the, you know, the coming home late in the week or late at night and late in the week, or driving to Des Moines when it seems invariably we have bad weather. So it's never, I don't miss that aspect of it. I miss the camaraderie, the networking with colleagues, mm-hmm. Just that part of it. I don't miss the hecticness that comes with it. I have enjoyed rather, settling in a bit, or just not having that extra extra stuff in my calendar that, oh, right, I have to plan for that. Oh, right, I have to set a week aside to get that done.
Yeah, and there's no choice. It's not that you can work it in when it works for you. It's someone else picks the dates and you better make your life work around it.
Exactly. So I haven't missed it that much. I miss the the stuff that comes out of it, the business that you, the contacts you might make. It's not that we've lost that much business or anything, but you just, you miss some of that network.
No, but it's even keeping your finger on the pulse of where everybody's at, where the industry's at, reconnecting with these people that, for me, yeah, some of these guys, I only see them once, twice a year at specific shows. And sure. And otherwise, yeah, we might talk or email, but that's the only time we're actually in the same province or state or country even.
So, I mean, like speaking of having your finger on the pulse, really, I hear about it a little bit from you. I don't make a deliberate point of asking about it, but where are we sit? Where are you guys sitting in Canada? Where, I mean, let's go with that whole crap that's going on right now. Where is the
industry or COVID?
Let's start with the COVID. Why not? Then I'll get, let's get that over with.
The elephant in the room. Okay. Yeah. I guess it's like it has been from day one. It depends who you talk to. Just a couple of weeks ago, our lead health officer or whatever, they're Canada's top health advisor, basically made me laugh. I didn't realize she was such a comedian, because apparently we are now supposed to no longer kiss our wives, and while having bedroom fun time, we should be wearing masks, which made me laugh to the point of going, I'm surprised she didn't suggest this as a specific position where we were facing opposite directions. But it's just, if you've got to that point in some people's minds,
when did you start drinking beer?
Why?
Wow.
I'm just telling you where it's at. Okay. It could be that crazy. It could be that crazy out on the news and our top officials going that wacky to the next part where, okay, look, there's cases. I talked to, I'm friends with a lot of people in the healthcare industry, and honestly, they're not overly concerned. They're going, yes, it's a real thing, but they've been through in this industry for 20 years, and they've seen flu seasons come and go, and they've seen whatever. They go, this has not been the worst. No, we don't want it to get out of control, but they're not hyped up, right? They're going, we can handle this. There has to be cases. It's going to be out there, but we don't have to be crazy about it. So Manitoba has had it pretty good in general, though. We have never really spiked too bad, but they went over the top, in my opinion, but that's just an opinion, that everything got locked down for different travels and whatever, and we were counting single-digit cases with nobody dying.
Yeah. So, I mean,
but I guess the flip side is they'll argue that's why we had such low numbers. So it's, you don't win either side of that argument.
Yeah. I've given up arguing about it. I have my opinions. We could spend an hour and a half going through them. I just think
I know a lot of business wise tied together with that. A lot of the Hutterite colonies here have had cases or outbreaks or whatever you want to call it. I still haven't been made aware of anyone who's been majorly sick or death from it. I know one guy even had a compromised immune system. And yeah, for 3 weeks, he certainly did not feel good. But he's back up and running. So sure. It's out there. It's real. But I guess I'm just one of those guys that there's a million and one ways to die in life. And if I try to hide from them all, I need a bigger hole and a taller fence.
Well, down here it's a little bit more extravagant, perhaps. We have had more cases, if you will. I know Manitoba has been a little bit lower. And maybe this is not something everybody's going to want to hear, but I can most certainly say that whatever the case count actually officially is, it's about 3 to 4 times higher, because I've known a lot of people who have been around those who've had it, who've been exposed to it, and they don't feel good for a week and can't taste anything. And they're like, why in the world would I go get tested? I know what I have. It's not going to change anything. I'll just go about my life. And there's a lot of people out there like that. So let's be honest. The case
numbers. No, that's same thing up here. The case numbers are relevant. That, first of all, yes, you have to go for a test and before it can even count. And depending on who you listen to, there's X percentage of false negatives, whatever. But with the people I'm personally aware of, and I don't know everybody in Manitoba by any means, with the people I'm personally aware of, I think we're officially a little over 1,000 confirmed cases at this point, somewhere in that range. I say that number doubles just the people I know. So if I have to extrapolate from that, I don't know how big the number really gets.
Right. Yeah. It's
which is only a good thing. That means, again, it's something that might tick a few people off or scare them, but without a vaccine, herd immunity is your only defense. So the more that have got it and recovered, the better off we are.
It's kind of unique. I don't know how many vets you associate with. I get to talk to quite a few of them, and it's kind of funny. Vets, swine vets specifically, have a lot of practice and experience with you know, rapid onset of viral type diseases in a closed situation. Yeah. This is something that vets deal with on a global scale year in and year out, of diseases that transfer very similarly. And the common consensus I've heard among vets is that, well, it's a good thing it isn't a bad virus, because if it was, we're doing everything possible to make it worse. So that's I'm sure that doesn't speak for every vet, because obviously I don't know every vet, but
no.
But that is the consensus I've heard so far, is that it's a pretty good thing that it's not that bad of a virus, because if it was, we're doing everything wrong we possibly could.
Yeah, well, without being too callous, even though I do have a bit of a darker sense of humor anyway, talking to the one hog barn owner, not just manager, just chatting about it a bit, and, you know, you discuss the death rate percentage and whatever, he just kind of laughed. He says, man, if we could get our pigs down to that percentage, we'd be happy. So I don't know what they're all complaining about.
Okay. Yeah. You probably don't want to share that with Jenny. You get all the Karens after you at that point.
Well, yeah, I'm not devaluing anybody's life, but yeah, if you want to just put it in perspective, there are worse things out there. There are worse situations again, we could probably spend 18 podcasts rambling about it, and it's not going to change a thing. So
we'll save that for the time when I actually do travel up there, because nobody wants to hear all that.
As far as how it's affected the industry, there's obviously been some direct effects. Like, business has to keep going. The hog barns, as everybody well knows, hog barn, poultry barn, dairy barn, it really doesn't matter. You can't just suddenly shut down. Employees have to report to work. You can take steps to mitigate exposure and separate people and do whatever. But the reality is, the animals don't just take a break, and we don't just shut it down like a lot of industries were. So that's been good. Again, I hate to say it to too many people outside the industry, because then you start to get some strange looks, and I go, this has been a good thing for me, because it proves we're in a great industry full of great people, and it's got a future. Food and food supply can't go away. It'll be one of the last things. So yeah, we're well structured to keep moving. Now, that being said, pricing's the next thing that's on everybody's mind. I think there's been some backroom players probably having a lot of fun with the fact that if there's some fear out there, they get to play with pricing, and the guy actually making the pigs isn't necessarily getting the benefit, but somebody is somewhere along the way.
No, there's always those people that will use a good crisis to advantage themselves. So you're going to get that no matter what. You've got two major processing plants in Manitoba. Do you not the one in Meepo,
yep,
and the one
High Life, Brandon? High Life and Maple Leaf. Yeah.
And how have they gone through this? Have they had an outbreak?
Realistically. Well, the closest was the one in Brandon. There was some cases through their contact tracing and whatever. They determined that it wasn't coming from the plant. It was people that were contacting it out in the community and then coming into the plant. So they had a lot of the PPE and the procedures already in place. They had already adjusted for that. I haven't really heard anything out of Meepo or High Life there. But yeah, the Maple Leaf one was certainly making the news for a while, but nothing that they were doing wrong, no dangerous exposure to employees or anything like that. It was no different than if someone were showing up to a assembly line manufacturing plant making widgets. It's just the fact that you put enough people in a building and then 20 of them get partying together on the weekend and give it to each other. Don't blame that on their job, right?
Yeah.
So the pigs have kept flowing.
So yeah, it's kind of one of those things where down here, even we had a, of course, the plant in Sioux Falls, which in and of itself is such a fascinating thing, being the oldest plant in I believe North America, if I'm not mistaken. I should really check that without saying it too often, but or before I say it too often, I believe it is the oldest processing or hog, at least swine processing plant. That they did have that outbreak here in Sioux Falls. They had to shut down, clean up, get set up differently to come back in, and now they've been I don't even remember how long it's been now that they've been in full production, and
it's been months.
No more outbreaks of any significance. So obviously they've managed to do something right to contain it and control it. It's you get through it, you learn from it, and one of the things that you had mentioned, the PPE that you guys had to prepare for, and it just made me think, is that every year brings a circumstance or something where you learn some new terms. I think at the end of 2020, everybody's just going to be tired of talking about PPE and different things like that, because if somebody would have used that abbreviation at the beginning of the year, you would have given them a funny look. What the heck are you talking about?
That's a term I was well aware of what it meant already previous to that, with all the safety regulations that are in, be it different job sites, barns, whatever. I'm well aware of what PPE meant. I've been asked that lots of times. People go, well, what's this PPE? And then you go through it. At least you're not wearing, they didn't tell us we had to wear steel toe shoes. At least they didn't get that crazy. But you talk about the terms PPE is one of them that everybody knows. I'm still chuckling about this social distancing, or depending on who you talk to, physical distancing, which I just, again, every time it comes up, I chuckle and go, I've been doing that my entire life. I don't like people standing in my bubble. You can stand over there. I can stand over here, and we can still see and talk and all the rest. So that was zero challenge for me. Now you get other people that are like, well, how do you get that far away from someone? I just can't wrap my mind around it. Like, why do you want to be closer than that to anyone?
Yeah. Which, I mean, that is our nature. Social distancing is second nature to me, because I like the personal space, and it makes me laugh thinking about going to Eurotier when we used to go to Eurotier and could go to Eurotier.
There's no personal space there.
The personal space you get is the stuff inside your clothes. Outside your clothes is everybody else's, that's about how it works. It's funny. It's like, it's completely unrelated to this, but those terms you learn, I had to go, I don't know if you hear that up there. It's become a political thing this year, but you hear the term gaslighting and, when you're gaslighting somebody, and I never knew what that meant till this year. I had to go and look up. It makes sense. Okay. It's a
bit of that. I heard them start to use it, but I had to go look up, what are they actually trying to say here?
And now it's about time for somebody to say, let's just ban that word, because everybody's overusing it. And at the end of the day, is another one that needs to really go away, because everybody uses that far too often.
The one I got tired of real fast, and again, that's probably just my nature, but off the bat, everywhere you turned, someone was telling you, some ad was there, or some politician was telling you, we're all in this together. Well, duh. We're all on the same earth. Of course we're in this together, but shut up and get about your life. Like, that one got so annoying, I actually had to stop from people from saying, well, don't worry, we're all in this together. Yeah, we are, except I'm going to do my thing and you're going to do your thing still, no matter what. So stop it already.
Okay. I think we need to get off that topic, because I'm starting to get just, frustrated with the world again. And we're going to move on.
We'll end up getting too political if we stay on that. So
next thing you know, I'm going to be running for office. So I'm not. That was a joke. Everybody, that was a joke.
We can't. I've got 10 votes so far, but I don't think that gets me anywhere.
Yeah, no, overall, I mean, our industry is probably in better shape than quite a few others. We can't shut down. And honestly, as especially in the swine side of things, we have a lot of practice in doing things more biosecure than, you know, it's harder to get to this day, even with what's going on, it's harder to get into a hog barn than a hospital. You can get into a hospital mm-hmm. easier than you can into a hog barn. What does that say about what people are prepared to do for any of this? So we've, and I'm going to, you know, leave it at that and move on. We're in an industry that is well suited to carry on and not to sound callous about it, but we know what we're doing and we're just going to carry on doing what we're doing. And I think that is.
Yeah. And there's always down times, and there are people who suffer and end up having to leave the industry and all the rest, and you hate to see that, but the unfortunate adage is that yes, one man's gain comes from another's suffering. That is just the way of the world. It leaves, if someone has to get out, there was, I don't remember what producer there was there in the U.S. that had quite a few thousand sows that just recently pulled out or announced that they were. Well, that just means there are less pigs being produced by someone, which means the ones still producing them should, maybe not immediately, obviously, but eventually be able to have a better price, better markets for their pigs as they produce them. So somebody's also going to gain in the long run from somebody else's suffering. But industry's used to, for a million reasons over the course of my career, there's been downturns. There has been unexpected what the heck just happened. Not too many years ago, PED hit in the U.S. And what did that do to the industry and scare everybody? ASF's alive and well in many places around the world. We face these challenges on a daily basis. So COVID hits and you go, okay, that's just one more on the list. It's not a shock, right? Yeah,
we're relatively resilient, even if it's not fun sometimes to go through it. We're probably more positioned and unfortunately from experience and practice to handle the rocky road, if you will.
We're a feast and famine industry who has learned to put something away when times are good because the bad times are coming.
Yeah. But speaking of the longevity,
like the two old, you know, the story about the two old newfies standing out in the cove looking at the ocean, and it's just completely calm and sunny. I'm not putting on the accent. No.
This is like, first of all, we're going to have to start explaining to half the people what a newfie is, but go ahead.
All right, somebody from Newfoundland. Fair enough. Two old guys standing on the cove out in Newfoundland looking at the ocean. It's the most beautiful day they've ever seen. Calm seas, sun is shining warm. They stand there and just look at it for about 5 minutes, and one old guy looks at the other and says, boy, we're really going to pay for this. And that is the brilliance of always knowing that something is around the corner. You can enjoy what's in front of you, but you better be ready for the bad stuff that's coming as well. And like I say, I think this industry is very well suited for that because they know whatever goes up, it's coming back down, and get ready for it.
Yeah, yeah. Never take your seatbelt off. It's always the crappy roads are around the corner. I'm going to, you know, kind of ties in. I'm going to switch gears a bit, but it does kind of tie in. You remember those, speaking of these.
I'm going to switch gears.
You don't like that saying either?
No, oh, I switch said I'm beers. Switch beers.
Or switch beers. Hey, I like how you think. Well,
yeah, that one's empty. So.
Well, switching gears is another one of those stupid things that gets worn out. Just talking about the longevity thing. You remember those books? We wrote a blog about it. Those books that your mother gave us, you more than me, I guess.
Yeah.
From what year was that? I'm going to have to look at Jake here, who's sitting here.
Oh, I think one of them was back in the 60s, the best we could determine. The other one was, that stable company started in the late 1800s out in Ontario, and I think they went out of business in the 30s or something like that.
Established 1874 was BD Bros Limited. Yeah. I don't know when they went out of business. Yeah. They don't print books saying when they went out of business. But we got those. Jake brought those books back today when he came to set up for the recording here, and he was laughing. He says he had to protect him from his kids or from he had him sitting in his office. I says, you mean they thought they were coloring books? And you're just like, no, no. don't come here. These are books for anybody who's listening. These are books that are about 67 years old. You know, they're like, the one is a BD stable equipment barn
yellow
building.
Paper.
Yeah, it's like almost parchment paper with these old hip roof barns. So I got to get those back to you, Kevin. But yeah, I thought it's kind of funny that you could put these in the wrong section and you could have kids treating them as coloring books. See, I'll get them back to you. Well,
I prefer they don't, because I actually did, as we do with everything in life, I got those books, I looked at them, I enjoyed them, and okay, let's see what I can find out about it. So you do the good old Google search, and I can actually, that BD farm equipment book, you can actually buy it on eBay for a few $100. Apparently it's become a semi-collector's item or something like that.
So having a barn colored red and white in there is not a good thing?
Probably not, but really it doesn't bother me too much. But
it's not.
The more interesting thing, I guess, those books, again, most people wouldn't have seen what it is, but it not only shows, like, they basically provided you complete barn packages. You didn't, you had to build it, you had to think somewhat, but it was basically look at what your small farm needed. They had a pile of examples, and you just kind of selected a package and away you went. And they have all those pictures in there of actual barns they built with the places that they are. And that's one of those things I almost want to make a summer holiday out of, is just start driving around and see how many I can find that are still standing. Get a picture of them today, even if they're leaning over crooked, right? Well,
if I'm not mistaken, that Beatty one, you'd probably have to drive around Ontario, wouldn't you?
There's all the way out to Alberta. There's a pile of Manitoba ones there.
Do you know that Beatty was the largest barn equipment manufacturer in the British Empire at one point? That's what it says in the front of the book. I guess we could say, we should come up with that. You're still in the British Empire.
Technically, yeah. Not sure how much of an empire it is anymore, but okay.
Yeah. And I've joined the tree.
No, I just found those very interesting. And yes, of course, I do want them back. They were very interesting reads. As you know, you even think back, we... like you say, somewhere in the 50s, 60s, whatever, some of these, I think, even they're obviously back to the 1800s, but by the time I think they were done was 50s or 60s, something like that.
Well, the copyright on the Beatty one is 1849. I just saw that as we were talking here. And also 1949. That's 100 years.
49, before. Yeah.
Not 1849, yeah, so 1949.
But even back then, the stuff that's written in there about the importance of ventilation and moving fresh air through a building. Now, we're talking barns here that are your traditional, what you would picture, old hip roof barn that's varying sizes, whatever. But they might be holding literally one sow, two pigs, and a couple of goats and chickens kind of a thing. And yet they still talk about the importance of ventilation to the productivity of the animals and all the rest, how they designed for airflow, natural ventilation. And oh boy, if you could really afford, wanted to move forward, how they had powered ventilation with electric fans. And it was just amazing that many years ago, somebody was already identifying the importance of doing something like that rather than just opening a window. Right, and hoping for the best, or saying, "Well, it's a barn; it stinks." Right?
Yeah.
They were actually trying to do something about it even back then. So we've come a long way since then. There's no doubt. But yeah. I found that very interesting. How they're not around anymore, but they're basically part of our own history. We're not where we're at in the industry today without people like that pushing the envelope for what people expected.
It's actually kind of a good, I'm going to segue, it's kind of a good transition into some of the stuff that you and I both have started to see this work with it on both sides of the border is we've had a bit of our own DNA and history is in ventilation engineering and design, but even now in the last, pretty much the last 10, 11 months, we've started to work with some new electronics that are just taking things to a whole new level. That's, I know you guys up there have found it. You've probably had a little bit more of a head start on it, even though it comes from the States in terms of selling electronic controls that have just basically reset the conversation entirely in our sector of the world. I'm referring, for those who haven't heard of it or who aren't familiar, is the fusion controls that we've a new standard has started to sell. I got to tell you, it's been one of the most exciting few months in that respect, in terms of looking at what's possible and what's coming out in the industry. I'm just pulling it back into some of what we do, not just BSing here. These fusion controls are, well, kind of amazing. And I don't know, Kev, you can fill.
Well, I've been in this industry since 97. I think yours and I's first true exposure to a hog barn, modern hog barn, as it were, was power washing. What was it, George Hebert's?
George Hebert's. And well, that was modern, yeah, but not when we were washing it.
That was, well, it was
modern at some job, point.
We were, yeah. Yeah. We were teenagers and getting paid a few bucks cash to do this for a neighbor, but that was okay. Yeah, hog barns are horrible. And then I didn't see one for several years, and then I got into this industry, and yeah, they'd come a long way and all the rest. But regardless, like I have, not just in this moment, I have given this a lot of thought. There are only two things in the 20 plus years that I've been in this industry that I think were a great leap forward. And one of them was ESF, properly functioning designed ESF, and now the fusion control. And I'd say the fusion control is probably even more of a conversation changer than ESF even was. And that's not something I would say lightly. We've used it in so many different applications already. The reality is, it comes down to the mentality of the designers. It is a building automation. It is not a ventilation control. Everybody else I ever know started with or did a ventilation control, and they might have also added feeding or lights or this or that. But it was always an afterthought. It was always an add-on. It was, in many cases, a separate control, same manufacturer, but a separate control.
Or a layered type this thing, system where, you know, you have this, you have that. They're all layered together, but not.
Yeah, they're all layered in different, same, maybe same platform, but usually hard to truly integrate. This is the first control I could take off the wall, and I mean, or off the shelf. Literally the same control, same pieces. And I have done layer barns, broiler barns, turkey barns, and every style of hog barn. And I don't need any special software. I don't need no new parts. I use what I've got. I build what I need.
Stack it with the modules that are required for the in or the IO, the in and the out. Yeah.
And the ease of it. Like, we went in one barn up here. We sold the ventilation, had the control ready to go with a different manufacturer. Then got talking more about what the fusion could all do, and they said, "Ah, you know what? Let's give it a try." So again, they still had no intention other than going, "Ah, let's get a little different control on the wall than the other one," before they actually made the jump. So go out there, send Duane out there with the fusion, and he's still only supposed to be doing the ventilation, but yeah, probably the lights while we're at it in this layer barn. By the time he's done, he plugged in two more modules from what we had originally needed anyway for doing what we were doing. And he ended up, yeah, he's controlling the ventilation, including the heating and all the rest. We've got the lights on there. He ended up taking over the entire cage system. So he runs the feed carts. He runs the egg collector belt, the trip wire for the egg wire. He shuffles the belt forward X amount of feet, trips the wire again. He's doing the entire thing that would ever be required in this barn in one little box. And just from what I've been told, all that need was going to be automated anyway. We ended up saving him close to $40,000 because we could do it all in one.
That's it?
Now that's it. I should have charged more, I know. But I mean, we just had so many experiences like that. We've had several hog and broiler barns where we didn't redo anything. We basically pulled the existing control off the wall, put this one on it. And now when they have the ability to properly see, manage, monitor, control historical data, these guys have gone, the one guy sends us a picture of his pile of litter out in the field going, that's about a third the size of any other litter I've done just because we changed the control. He was able to keep his litter that much drier and not have to top it off all the time. Like this thing is like, literally, I'm blown away what we've been able to achieve with it. And it hasn't taken much other than going, yes, it's all possible. The answer is yes. You want to do it? We can do it. And it's wonderful having that kind of a tool.
Yeah, it's actually been it's been kind of nice. I mean, just to you, I didn't tell you about this ahead of time or anything. I was on the phone with the company ahead of time because we were just trying to get a new barn sort of fine tuned, set up with some alarming just to clean it up and. Talking directly to the guys who make the decisions right up to the top is a wonderful thing. And for him to know what's going on
the programming side,
is talking to the owner who knows the programming.
Of
Fusion or the company that builds it. And basically him saying, yeah, let's get this figured out. We're looking at some different alarming, some special alarming type stuff. And it's basically, okay, help me understand it. And then let's see what we can do. And having that ability to always just say, yeah, the answer is yes. Let's figure it out. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
It's not an experience I've had in my entire career. Typically the answer, not just on ventilation controls, I don't care if it's a feed system manufacturer or any of these guys tend to, here's what we make, you figure out a way to use it. That's just typically the answer is, we make a good product, you go figure out how to sell it. These guys have been very much on, what does the industry need? What do we need to do to work with you? And it's been a fun experience in that way. They've already got so much in there, but I also, without spilling too many beans, I also know what the future is going to hold with what we're able to develop with them. We got a lot of things in the pipeline that are really going to amaze people because we have a relationship with a manufacturer that gets it, that wants to make it happen, which is great. And that's where the direct access makes a big difference too. I know there's other versions of that type of control out there. Some of them even made by the same company, but the way they roll out onto the market, they're a boxed up, just like we were talking about, they're boxed up off the shelf. This is all you get. Our version is much more adaptable because we have that direct connection, as you just mentioned.
You know, one of the things that we've seen, and we do quite a bit on social media, and we like to see that kind of activity. You and I, Kevin, have talked about this, about how we have noticed that the WhatsApp chats are much more engaged with than some people would expect. What's really cool is to see apart from everything we do to promote ourselves, and that's what we do. We're a business, so we're going to promote ourselves. The fact that a lot of our customers take what we help them put in and set it up, and all of a sudden you start to see these WhatsApp chats floating around where these guys are sending out pictures of their control, for crying out loud. They're sending out pictures of the screens of their controls because it's so exciting to even it's for them to see this sort of stuff, the capabilities that speaks volumes to what's actually capable when the customers aren't just, okay, it's running the barn. No, they're excited about it.
Okay. On that, I'll ask you, how many times in all the years you've been in this industry, have you provided a product to a customer and a day, a week, 2 weeks later, you get a call and they thank you? Now, I know I've done some good stuff and guys, that was good, thanks. But maybe a half dozen times that they're always appreciative of what we do, but not to a level where they have to say it. So I don't know if your experience has been different, but I can tell you that Dwayne, my lead tech, who's been installing the majority of these, he informed me yesterday that to a man, every single system he has installed with the Fusion has contacted him and thanked him for that product. Yes, our service is great. They have in the past thanked him for that. He has never, he told me that because he says, I've never had, he's been working for me 4 or 5 years, whatever, all the stuff he's installed, all the stuff he's worked with, he's never had the call to say, thank you for that product. And with every one of them, when we put in a Fusion, he got contacted in one form or another to say, this is the best thing I've ever had. Thank you for it. Now, money's great. You have to have it to stay in business. But I tell you, that thanks goes a long ways. And it also shows we're obviously on the right path when these guys are that appreciative.
No, I'm just laughing because let's be honest, we're guys, and affirmation is a big deal to guys, whether they like to admit it or not. So getting that kind of thanks.
Absolutely. Getting acknowledged. I know that keeps him, his blood pumping during the day too, to go, of course, he's working for me to make a paycheck, as he puts it. He's selling his time to me.
Okay.
Yeah. He's very dedicated and all the rest, but he's well aware that he's selling his time. That is above and beyond selling his time. That's I can't pay him enough to give him that same feeling of being thanked by a customer for something he's provided him.
Well, beyond the Fusion, never mind the Fusion. If we could figure out a way to clone Dwayne, he's worth his weight.
Oh, we'd rule the world.
So if he needs any acknowledgement, check with me anytime. I know what he's worth.
Yeah, we certainly do, and I make sure I tell them as well. But you know what that's like too, having someone naturally come to you and express that gratitude, not just for a job well done. That's directly on him, and he deserves every bit he gets. But he did tell me they're also now they've done that for him for years, and that's great. But now they're actually mentioning the product, that not only his service and his abilities are being appreciated, it's the actual product going, you guys have really changed my world by giving you this. And that's, again, I 20 plus years, I haven't had a product where someone said, wow, I've never had something like this before. I provided good stuff, but not enough for them to go, it's extreme compared to something else.
Well, you saw that picture, and of course, it's hard to paint a visual when we're doing a podcast, and I'm not exactly a wordsmith in that regard, but that screenshot I sent you of Joe, who just did a video for one of our blogs, where he basically loaded up the whole home screen with every bit of information. And it's kind of funny because this gives guys so many flexible options. There's one guy that would just be completely overwhelmed with that information. He had stacked a whole stinking home screen with bits of information. And I'm the kind of guy who declutters my phone. I found a launcher for my Android phone where I could hide everything I don't use, because I hate seeing a busy, overwhelming screen. So that probably wouldn't be my style, but what's really cool is that, I mean, he could stack it full and he was excited about it. Me, on the other hand, I'd probably want to see, I want clean, this corner's got to have some clean information and that corner's got to have some clean information and they can't touch.
That's the beauty of the thing. It can be both without us doing anything. It's the guy who wants to see, I remember you showing me that screenshot. It's like, yeah, he's looking at the percentage of every curtain actuator. He's looking at the wind speed. He's looking at the humidity. Everything's all in one. And I'm going, that's a second level screen when I want to get into details. I want to see a couple of basic things on the front screen as well. But yeah. Through literally it would take me a couple of clicks or 2 minutes or less to change his home screen into something that worked for me. The control would operate the same. It's just what I'm seeing at the point would be the difference. So the guy who wants to just see what's the temperature in the room, he can do that. The guy who wants to see every little detail, he can do that too. And that adaptability is key. You and I have joked over the years that it's funny. Again, you mentioned how it's easier to get into a hospital than a hog barn. Reality is we control hog barns to more details and specs and factors than we do our own homes, right? We go up to a simple thermostat and we up, down, and that's it. And it's got a terrible hysteresis and it has no intelligence about whether the wind's from the north or not.
Stop you right there. you got to, now that you brought the word up, you're going to have to explain hysteresis.
Really? I got to explain hysteresis? I know what it means.
I hate explaining that.
It's the differential between the on and the off point. Right. There's an official definition, but the simplified version is if you have a 1 degree hysteresis, it means something whenever it kicks on, it has to either heat up or cool down, depending on the function. It has to heat up or cool down 1 degree before it then goes back off. It's just the difference from when it turns on to when it turns off.
Right.
So my thermostat in my house, I changed to Fahrenheit because it's like in most people's houses, even if they've got somewhat fancy things. It's a hard-coded hysteresis that I cannot change, and it's always half a degree, whether you're running on Fahrenheit or whether you're running on Celsius. So half a degree Celsius is a lot more than half a degree Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
I change it to Fahrenheit only so I have a tighter window within my, it's not going to get so cold before my heat kicks on or vice versa for the air conditioner.
And this is even go ahead.
No, that's what we deal with. It's a simple $20 Home Depot, whatever, or White Rogers. It's what everybody has, right? With all the controls we've had over the years and different things we've dealt with, we've joked about how we automate barns more and we should put one of these in the house and boy, the things we could do. And you've never done it. I've never done it. The Fusion is actually the first one that I went, I just might put one on the wall in my house because now I can read wind direction and speed, outside temperature and humidity, and start to make different decisions on when my furnace or air conditioning is going to turn on or my heat is going to turn on. When do I need to start? We wrote a program into our thing that when it's on heat at X time, it starts to cool down for this for when we sleep. We like to sleep cool. Well, guess what? There are days like now in fall where it's cool enough outside that we were using the heat, but not cool enough outside to cool down the house in a couple hours. So we're going to bed and we're sweating. Well, with a proper control, I could say it's actually only this outside, knock the heat down at this time, and I'd be perfectly fine going to bed.
You need to put actuators on your
windows. I make myself suffer. Well, that'd be the next thing, you know, the automated blinds and windows and all the rest. But then, to be fair, I also have to admit that I live with three other people who, they'd be hitting buttons and I'd be out in the road somewhere when the world returns to normal and I'm traveling a bunch and I'd be getting a call going, all the windows are open and it's minus 30 because someone hit a button they shouldn't have hit.
You know, it's actually the, like you look at all of these automated home systems. What's funny is that these automated home systems have basically from what I've seen, and I don't have one yet because we work in an automation.
I've seen several.
They basically move the thermostat to your phone, but they don't change the abilities you have.
Yeah.
They move the setting.
No, they give you an interface that wherever you are, you can still access it, but it really hasn't automated anything other than they haven't changed the process, not at all.
And it's a dumb process. Yeah. I mean, as far as what we do,
yeah,
house controls are about as dumb as you can get.
Oh, that would never work in a modern, never mind just hog, modern agriculture facility. You would not get away with that. That's the goal in the end. I get it. You want to set a temperature and control to that. But there's so many other factors that we actually look at to make that happen rather than just going, oh, well, I set for 68, but it happens to be 84 right now. Oh, well, no, that's what happens in a house.
I've got to ask you, seeing as we're on the topic, I'm going to probably get dirty looks from somebody at some point about this, but when you get in the truck, now I know your truck has automated climate control. You just set a temperature you want.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And when you get in with your wife, does she just crank the heat or the heat right up or the temperature right down every single time? Because that's going to make it respond faster.
Absolutely. It's the same thing in the house. It's the same thing in the truck. If I'm cold, if I crank the heat, I'll get warmer faster. Not give it any time and vice versa. And that's not just my wife.
It's not even gender specific. Everybody does it.
It's not even gender specific.
It doesn't. But that's what people are used to at home thermostats. That's the, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, you remember the round ones? They're a lot of years gone in most places. But you remember the round dial thermostats? Mm-hmm. And that used to, the joke used to be that when we had one in the trailer, it was like playing roulette. She was spinning that thing so damn fast, we had no idea where it was going to land.
Okay, then.
Come home from work, you're cool, you crank the heat. Yeah, okay. That's one way to go.
And then at night, you're sweating because it's too warm in the house because you forgot to turn it down. Of course, brings up stories in your old house where you had that, where you and I would do the same thing that we're doing now, but you would go and look for beet pickles at 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
We're not going
to
go there.
I don't know if you remember all the way back to the other house we played the heat game, where we cranked the heat and see how long it could last, and then forgot about it, went to bed and woke up and it was about 40 degrees in the house.
That's Celsius, of course. But, and you didn't forget about it. You were...
Yeah, well, I put it politely. We forgot about it. Yeah, we just laid down and went to sleep real quick. That's all.
Jake, you're allowed to laugh out loud. He's sitting here laughing at us.
Wow. Sadly, it seems to be genetic, because the last three times I've had Colby, my son, in the truck, he looks at me and goes, "Want to play the heat game?" And he wants to. Yep, especially now, you know, because so many places.
Your brother Rick.
The last one was. Yeah, Rick was he was terrible for that. But we were heading to town, and I don't know about down there, but up here, there's many places, Walmart being one of you, you're mandated to wear the mask inside, which, again, I'm not going to get into the politics or opinions on that. But whatever, I don't care. Wear the mask. It does exactly what I need it to do, and that means people aren't looking at me strange. So we're going to town. He looks at me and goes, "You want to try the heat game with the mask?" I'm like, not even a chance.
Add CO2 toxicity plus heat? No thanks.
I'm driving. This is not a good idea if I pass out.
Your brother Rick was the kind. He would push it beyond. I never rode with him, but Travis would tell stories. So he would ride. I mean, they're at a point where
wouldn't give up.
He would heat stroke levels. They'd go in the middle of summer and crank the heat and play. It's like
middle of summer, 30 degrees, sun shining, and then crank the heat and leave the windows up and see how long you can last. And I've done that, and I'm starting to have hallucinations in this passenger seat. I'm like, well, this isn't good if you're driving. Like, that's just, whatever. Stupid things we do.
Well, I used to be, like I say, I've said too many times, I used to be young and stupid, and I've gotten older anyway. So
that we have.
So anything else interesting going on, or do we have to, I think we're pushing already an hour on time here. Do we need to wrap it up, or what else is going on in your world?
Well, that's completely up to you. I just cracked another beer, so we can take a pause and make episode 2, or we can wrap it up.
Oh, we'll pause. We're going to pause. We're going to get Jake to push that nice, pretty red button. And hey, give me a second there, Jake. We're going to just say we might be back. We might not. We might go to episode 2. We might not. But hope you guys enjoyed it all.